So far from Exodus chapter 12, and our scripture text is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and so we'll read this now also. First Corinthians chapter 5, our text is from verses 6 to 8. So in this chapter, the Apostle Paul writes that a man has committed incest with his father's wife, and the Corinthians had not disciplined this person, and Paul commands them to discipline the person, in fact, to excommunicate the person. In verse 5, as he puts it, to deliver this man over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that his spirit may be saved on the day of the Lord. And now he applies it to the Corinthians, our message about unleavened bread. He writes in verse 6, "Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Cleanse out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you really are, unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." And so far our scripture text. After we've listened to God's word proclaimed, we'll sing hymn 30, verse 5, as our song of response. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, boys and girls, perhaps you already knew about the Old Testament of Passover and that it used unleavened bread. Unleavened bread is bread that doesn't rise, so it's flat bread, like perhaps you sometimes eat naan bread at home or pizza pockets. And maybe you know why the Israelites ate unleavened bread at Passover. It's because as they celebrated the first Passover, they were in a hurry. You see, in those days, there weren't very many real Egyptian superstores. And so if you wanted bread, you had to make it yourself. And so you'd mix all the ingredients together, and then you'd add leaven, which is a piece of dough saved from a previous loaf, which had leaven or yeast in it. And then you would mix that together with the new batch of dough, and you would leave it for a few hours to rise. But on this first Passover night, they had the Feast of Passover to celebrate with their families. But not only that, they also at the same time had to get ready to leave at a moment's notice. And in a hurry, we read in verse 33 of Exodus 12 that the Israelites, after the death of the firstborn, the Egyptians are pleading with them to leave and to leave in a hurry, to hurry up and get out of the land, the Egyptians say. Otherwise, we will all die. And so, as we read, the people took their dough in their kneading bowls, so before it had time to rise, and they just wrapped the kneading bowls up in their cloaks, slung it over their shoulders, picked up the rest of their possessions, and left in a hurry. And so, after they had camped at Succoth, we read, they baked unleavened cakes, because they could not wait for them to rise. But just the fact that they were in a hurry is not the whole story. In verse 15, when God first tells them that they are to use unleavened bread for the Feast of Passover and for the next 7 days, he doesn't just tell them that this time they don't rise their bread because they won't have time. He tells them that they have to get rid of all the leaven that is in their houses, including any leavened bread from the previous day. They had to get rid of it, destroy it, burn it, or bury it. And for the next 7 days, they had to eat unleavened bread. Even after they'd camped at Succoth and they had the time to make their bread rise, they weren't to. And this is so serious that it's on pain of excommunication. Verse 19 says, "For 7 days no leaven is to be found in your houses. If anyone eats what is leavened, that person will be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a sojourner or a native of the land. So if they dare to eat any leavened bread, or if they've left any in their house in a cupboard somewhere, then they will be excommunicated, cut off from their people. And this is the sort of punishment that is reserved for serious sins, for remaining uncircumcised or working on the Sabbath, or a large list of sexual deviances in Leviticus. So it's not just about a lack of time that they're using unleavened bread. This is more serious. God is treating leaven, at least for these 7 days, as if it is something evil, and eating it is a serious sin. Why? Well, it's not just, in fact, those 7 days. God continues his vendetta against leaven when it comes to the sacrifices in Leviticus. When the Israelites brought their various offerings to the Lord, we know about how they'd bring an animal to offer, but at the same time, they almost always had to offer bread. All the sacrifices included bread and meat. And the Lord warned them that when they brought their bread as an offering, they were never to burn leavened bread on the altar as an offering. Sacrifices had to always be unleavened bread. The part of the offering that was eaten by the worshiper or the priest, if it was one of those kinds of offerings, that part could be regular bread, leavened bread, but never for the Lord. Again, why? Well, the Old Testament doesn't really spell it out, although probably the Israelites could have figured it out, but the Apostle Paul certainly tells us if we hadn't figured it out for ourselves. In 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6, he says, "Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump?" And he makes clear what he means by the context, because 1 Corinthians 5 is about serious sin in the congregation. The Corinthian congregation had a man guilty of great sin, great sexual deviancy, incest in the congregation. And they were allowing him to just remain in the congregation with no consequences. And, says the Holy Spirit, they were proud of it. They were proud that they were so open-minded and so loving that they would allow someone guilty of such great sin to remain. How non-judgmental they were. What good Christians they were. But, the Apostle Paul says, they have it exactly backwards. If they truly loved such a sinner, he says, they would hand him over to Satan, as he writes in verse 5. That is, they would excommunicate him from the congregation. And he makes clear that this is still done out of love. It is done so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Excommunication will teach this man that committing a great sin is not something to be tolerated, and living in sin will lead you to eternal judgment at the end, on the day of the Lord. And so, if he does not repent, he will eventually be condemned, but so that he is not condemned on the day of judgment, he is to be condemned now, so that he may repent and not find judgment on the day of the Lord. And the apostle also writes about how they're boasting, about how open-minded and gracious they are, is also backwards in verse 6 when he says, "A little leaven leavens the whole lump." And leaven, then, we see, is a picture of sin. It shows us that sin is contagious. And it shows us that it doesn't take much. A tiny bit of dough left over from the whole previous loaf, when you mix it in with a big new lump of dough, it will end up spreading and leavening the whole thing. And so, one sin left unchecked in the congregation will spread, especially a public and vile sin as this. And when the Apostle Paul writes that, he doesn't mean that they will all suddenly start committing incest. But when a sin is tolerated in a community, it makes the entire community less holy, less committed to fighting sin. We won't think, "Well, he's committing incest, so why don't I?" But we will think, "Well, he's committing such a great sin, so what harm is it if I do this little sin?" It's hardly anything by comparison. And then when we tolerate one tiny sin, we begin to start rationalizing even bigger sins. At least, we say, "I'm not as bad as so-and-so." And so it goes on. And so our sins get bigger. And so it spreads to more and more of us. And so we learn why God is commanding the Israelites to destroy all leaven from their houses, and why they must never offer leaven as a sacrifice to the Lord. Because leaven is a picture of sin. It shows us that sin is a contagious, a repulsive, and a deadly disease. Now, leaven is not literally sin. That's why they're allowed to eat it on the other 359 days of the year. But for the sacrament of Passover, the Lord is teaching the Israelites what it looks like to be truly holy. That to be holy means to destroy every sin in your life, to get rid of the last remnant of sin from the corners of your lives, from the closed cupboards of your heart and mind. And if you don't, your sin may grow, and it may not just infect you, but it may spread and infect the rest of your congregation. And it's important for the Israelites to be this holy at Passover, because Passover is a matter of life and death. The first Passover, as we know, was a literal matter of life and death. As if they did not keep the Passover correctly, the destroying angel would have destroyed them and killed the firstborn in their families. But they were to take it this seriously every time they commemorated that first Passover and celebrated the Passover again the following year and so on. Only those who were holy would be spared destruction as the Lord himself passed through the land in judgment. And so they had to sanctify themselves symbolically by getting rid of all the leaven in their houses, and they had to sanctify themselves literally by examining their lives and getting rid of the sin that they found. But if you know the Passover, you'll know that just getting rid of the leaven in their houses, literally and symbolically, was not enough. They also needed to kill a lamb and paint its blood on the doorposts of their houses as protection. Because even after they've gotten rid of the old leaven, they've cleansed out all of their sins, they still weren't holy enough to survive God's destruction. They still had, even after their best efforts, too much sin attached to them. And they had no way of making up for the sins that they had already committed over the past year. So they had to take a lamb as sacrifice. And this, of course, is pointing to our Lord Jesus Christ. And we learn this from our text as well, verse 7. The Apostle Paul writes how we still celebrate Passover, we still partake of the feast of unleavened bread, but we do so symbolically, spiritually. Verse 7 says, "Cleanse out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened." And so we need to do what the Israelites did. We need to destroy all leaven from our lives. That is, we need to cleanse ourselves from sin. Get rid of all the sin that is in our lives. Destroy every last remnant. But also for us, that is not enough. We also still have sin remaining in us. And even getting rid of all of our sin today doesn't make up for the sins that we've committed in the past. And so we also need a sacrifice. We also need blood symbolically painting our doorpost. And so verse 7 continues, "For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed." And so like the Israelites, we too have a sacrifice. And no matter how many times we examine ourselves and try to make a clean sweep of our lives, we never cleanse ourselves completely of sin. There's always another sin lurking in our hearts, ready to come out. There is always that old temptation still there, ready to leap out and infect us again in our worst and most tired moments. And so today, as we prepare to celebrate the Lord's Supper, we ought to ask ourselves, what is our leaven? What sin do I need to purge from my life? The Corinthians, in verse 5, they had to purge out incest. But also, as chapter 6, verse 9 puts it, they had to purge out prostitution, homosexuality, other sexual sins, stealing, greed, drunkenness, and more. And the Apostle Paul writes, or the Holy Spirit writes through Paul, that they may never tolerate such sins. as they were trying to do in chapter 5. Why can they not tolerate sins? Because, he says, you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. And so we too, we cannot tolerate sin to remain in our lives. We need to destroy it. But we too, the spring cleaning of our hearts is not good enough. But we do have something much better. We have the blood of Christ that washes us completely from every sin and all of our guilt. His blood washes away every stain and all the shame of our sin that still remains. And so it is Jesus and the washing with his blood that truly makes us worthy to partake of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. It's not our doing. It's not our self-examination and our own cleansing. But, as our chapter also makes clear, having been cleansed completely by Christ's blood, we have the duty to work hard, to fight with all of our strength to stop ourselves from getting reinfected, to root out sin from our life and destroy the last remnants of it. And so self-examination before the Lord's Supper, and as we've mentioned already, every Sunday and every day of our life, it's a serious matter. We go into every corner and we destroy every sin we find. We don't use such excuses like, I'm only human, or at least I'm not as bad as so-and-so. No, as Paul writes, Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? We cannot allow any sin, no matter how small, to remain, lest it spread and grow and infect. And above all, we remember that we were washed in the blood of Christ. The dirt and foulness and stench of sin has been washed clean from us. And so the last thing that we desire to do is to reinfect ourselves. And so as he writes in verse 8, we no longer live with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And so as we prepare to celebrate the festival, the feast of the Lord's Supper, we do our best to cleanse ourselves, to cleanse our hearts and our lives of our sins, and to be holy, to celebrate the Lord's Supper. But above all, we remember that we are made holy by the cleansing blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. In him, we were washed, we were sanctified, we were cleansed in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. And then let us go forth and live every day of our life as unleavened people, with lives free of malice and evil, and full of sincerity and truth. Amen.